MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Thursday, February 15, 2024. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber, supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore with a look at today's headlines. A shot fired in Saugus yesterday triggers an investigation. Juvenile justice advocates look to make changes to sentencing guidelines. And a proposed local pot shop will not be opening.
I'm Bill Newell, and later we'll have some local sports updates and a Celtic blowout win. Rick?
Yes, it was. Thanks, Bill. Sunny, windy, mid-30s, high tide, Gloucester Harbor, 4:36 p.m. Saugus police were called to a shooting incident yesterday afternoon near the Square One Mall at 4 p.m. Boston 25 News is reporting police responded to a parking lot at 180 Main Street adjacent to the mall, where a witness told investigators he heard a gunshot while inside the Buffalo Wild Wings. The male witness said he saw two men run away while a black sedan sped away. No shooting victims were found, but police did find ballistics in the parking lot. There's a move in the State House to raise the age of 18 in connection with juvenile justice. Advocates are urging lawmakers to say the age of 18 is too young to hold youths fully responsible for their crimes. Christian Wade reports in the Salem News Today that Salem Representative Manny Cruz has a proposal to gradually increase the age of the state's juvenile court jurisdiction to 18, 19, and 20-year-olds over a five-year period. Lynn State House delegation were guests this week on Attorney James Carrigan's The American Dream program on LynnTV.org. Lynn State Representative Dan Cahill was asked about the legislative priorities in this year's term.
You know, it's the big ticket items that we always deal with: public safety, education, and health. I expect us in the House, and more likely in the Senate as well, to deal with some health care issues this upcoming end of the session. The behavioral health and mental health needs of the city continue to grow. Homelessness continues to grow. Housing, of course, housing. Like, we're working on all of these initiatives all at once.
As for what can be done regarding behavioral health issues in the city of Lynn?
For health, a lot of it's access. So when you're talking about access, that means costs. So you want to expand access. But also there's a level of cost. And we want to make sure that, you know, what we're paying as insurance payers, or if it's Mass Health, that we're paying for what we're supposed to be paying for. And if there's folks that that could chip in a little bit, either on the provider side or the pharmaceutical side, we're going to be looking at that too, or the pharmacy side. I expect the House to try to deal with that shortly. And we just want to make sure that the system that was really established for the universal health care that we have prior to 2003, it's continuing to evolve and something that continues to grow in costs. So we're mindful of that. But as you can see, just in the city of Lynn, there's a great need for a lot of services that people need. And if they're not getting the services they need, then we need to provide the wraparound services to get them in the right spot.
That's Lynn State Representative Dan Cahill. The plan to open a marijuana dispensary on Cabot Street in Beverly will not be happening. Paul Layton reports in the Salem News that Seagrass was in negotiations for a lease agreement to open the dispensary at the current Cafe Salerno restaurant, but those negotiations ended without the agreement. A property in Gloucester owned by the Unification Church of the Reverend Sun Myung Moon has been sold to Lookout Hill, LLC of Gloucester. Ethan Foreman writes in today's Gloucester Times that the 12-acre property on 190 Western Avenue contains a two-story Tudor-style villa with 22 bedrooms that abuts a freshwater cove. The plans for the property are not known at this time. Sports next with Bill Newell.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at xobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States, and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the ExoBath banner at the top of our website.
This is MSO Sports bringing voice to the North Shore. The Celtics crushed the Nets last night, 136-86. The Bruins were off last night, but they'll host the Kraken tonight at the Garden. In local sports, we direct you to several sports posts that are up here on our website today. First, the Wednesday night scoreboard post as we congratulate the Winthrop boys hockey team on winning a Northeastern Conference title with a win last night. Also, our two sports desk posts, the North Shore Sports Desk and the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk show with Dom Nicastro. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, hoping you have a great Thursday. This is MSONewsSports.com. Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute, cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved-out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States, and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the ExoBath banner at the top of our website.
This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are joined by Nancy Schultz, the chair of the Historical Commission in Swampscott. And Nancy, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Bill. It's nice to be back.
Great to talk with you once again. We talked now quite some time ago, but we're pretty much on the same topic here, the General Glover House, you know, on the Marblehead Swampscott line and preserving that or saving it somehow or other. So, Nancy, give our listeners an update where you are at with your groups, if you will, and the two communities on that project.
Okay. Well, I wanted to stress that it's really three communities, Salem, Marblehead, and Swampscott. Because the site touches all three towns, and of course General Glover was born in Salem, and the house actually was in Salem at its present location until 1867 when it was transferred by legislation over to Swampscott. So the house has a really long and interesting history that is completely important to all three communities, Salem, Marblehead, and Swampscott.
Got it. Okay. Now, there was there's to be a development there with 140 units of housing called the Glover Residences. Now, where does that stand? Because that's on hold right now, right? There's no construction happening at this point and will not be any for some until the end of June at least, right?
Yes, we have heard from the developer that they don't intend to start work on the site until after July 1st, 2024. That was really good news for us because it gives us a little extra time, and we're very grateful to have the extra time.
What do you hope to do during this time from now until the 1st of July?
Well, I think we are actively still exploring whether or not the house could be moved, but with the site to put it still a little bit uncertain, there's a lot of proposed sites, but nothing finally determined. What we are now thinking is that we will need to take the house apart, to disassemble the house and store it until a permanent location can be found, and with such a short timeline, that is really starting to emerge as the main approach.
I know when we talked before that was one of the things you had talked about. Mm-hmm. What when you talk about taking the house apart, what kind of a task what kind of work is that, and what is it that you're trying to save?
Well, we would be working with structural engineers and preservation architects, and they would first do a plan for disassembly and document which part of the house is remaining. We're hearing from our structural engineers that at least 60% of the framing is still salvageable. And then they would basically take it apart piece by piece and document. They would inspect each piece and see what can be salvaged and what is beyond saving.
Now, you're now working with other groups, correct, among these three towns, Salem, Marblehead, and, of course, Swampscott?
Well, we're working with lots of groups. First of all, Glover's Marblehead Regiment is a very key partner with us, the Swampscott Historical Society, along with the commission, and we have multiple volunteers, and we've been speaking with folks in Salem on the Salem Historical Commission, so many people are aware of the effort, and, you know, many have chipped in and dove in and started to work with us.
I also noted that, again, nothing to do with the building itself, but the Marblehead Museum, there was a story in the item where they're able to present a letter from George Washington to General Glover, and that just has come out.
Yes, that happened on the weekend of the 26th and the 27th, just before John Glover passed away on January 30th, 1797. So every year, Glover's Marblehead Regiment does a commemoration of his death and a march to his gravestone on Burial Hill. So I was at that march, and it was very exciting this year that the Marblehead Museum was able to make that purchase. I think Glover's Marblehead Regiment really assisted them with helping them buy that very rare letter, which is wonderful to have now on display in the Marblehead Museum.
I want to ask you before we go too far, the fundraisers. You have a fundraiser coming up later this month, which is one of several that you've already had. So tell us about the next fundraiser that you're having for the projects.
Okay, the next one is going to be Tuesday, February 20th, at the Landing from 6 to 9 p.m. So we'll be in Marblehead at the Landing on Tuesday the 20th, and it should be a wonderful fundraiser.
Now, what happens during that time from the 6 to 9 hours?
Okay, so the Landing has generously offered us 15% of all the sales for that evening during that period, and people can come and have a meal, have a drink, and several of us will be on hand to answer questions and talk about the project. We usually bring some of our posters and materials to help educate people. And we have now these really cool Glover ornaments that we're selling as part of our fundraising effort. They're $25 each. They're a first edition, and some of the proceeds of that go to the Save the Glover preservation effort.
Terrific. Nancy, is there anything else you want to mention to us about the Glover House and your efforts there and your concerns as the chair of the Historical Commission in Swampscott?
Well, I would just encourage people, if they want more information about this effort, they can go to savetheglover.org. We have a very robust website with a lot of information, including, you know, lots of past media interviews and articles. So they could go there, they could read about it, and if they wish to donate, there's a donate button on that site. We also have a new Facebook page that's been up for a couple weeks, again, savetheglover.org, and we really welcome people to become followers on that page so that they can get updates. But the main thing I guess I'd want to stress is this is a really critical time for us. We really need help. We need the communities to pitch in, support us, and decide, look, we can't afford to lose this important Revolutionary War era site on the eve of the 250th anniversary of the American Revolution, which is coming up in 2026. We really need communities to take action and join with us and help us in our effort.
You know, I'm going to try to extend this one last question with you, Nancy. And I know when we talked now months ago now, you gave quite a detailed explanation about General Glover. But I'm wondering if you could just do a quick minute with us just to tell our listeners, just to refresh them as to the role General Glover played in the American Revolution.
Okay, well, it was instrumental in the sense that we wouldn't even be a country today without General Glover. He saved George Washington's army at least three times. Your listeners are probably familiar with the iconic picture of George Washington being rowed across the Delaware, standing in front of the Durham boat in the middle of the snowstorm on Christmas Eve, 1776. That was a major accomplishment. Whenever George Washington needed anything, he turned to General Glover, especially if it had to do with boats. Glover was his go-to person. He was enormously important, along with his men, who Patrick K. O'Donnell in his book refers to as the indispensables. General John Glover had the first integrated regiment in the U.S. military. He cobbled together 500 Marblehead Mariners of every ethnicity and race. They were Portuguese, they were Jewish, they were black, they were Native Americans, and they all were used to the seaboard discipline that they needed to be at sea on a ship fishing. And that made them the most talented and the most sought after regiments in the Continental Army. And I think a lot of the Rev 250 events that we're hearing about are really focusing, you know, General Glover was a great man, but we also are working to uncover the history of the diverse soldiers who served with him so admirably to actually found the country in which we're now living.
You know, that book you referenced, Nancy, that's a terrific book. I mean, it is just chock full of North Shore references and names. And, you know, family names are really still around in Marblehead and around. So it's a fantastic read for sure.
Yes, they absolutely are. All of us, no matter what era our relatives and ancestors arrived, we're all indebted to General John Glover, and we have to save this house. We can't let it be demolished.
All right, Nancy, thank you so much for your time and insights, and we'll keep, hopefully you can keep us posted, and we'll keep people posted as well, but hopefully we'll be back in touch soon.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Yep, Nancy Schultz with us, who is the chair of the Historical Commission in Swampscott, here on MSONewsSports.com.